views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
The casting wasn't bad for young Dom. It was all right, but the voice was actually impressive for young Dom. His voice came out and I'm like, man, your balls dropped early.
It went lower and lower each sentence he had. Every sentence just went an octave lower.
I think like the scene was being shot as his balls were slowly dropping. He was like, hey, Dad, I hope you win this race. I was like, oh, Dad.
All the family.
Oh, God, I think family's important.
Well, you couldn't see him wince on camera, but they were shooting testosterone darts into his back as the scenes were going.
I swear, it was probably just the days that Vin Diesel showed up on set. It was like, I don't talk that high. Lower, kid, lower. Yeah. And the director's like, fuck, it doesn't matter. Yeah, fine, fucking do lower.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same director that's done most of the more recent Fast and the Furious movies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he took a break on 7 and 8, but yeah, he did, I think, 4 or 5. He did actually 3, 4, 5, and 6. So
he's probably just used to Vin Diesel just coming out, like, eating fucking nachos. And be like,
I don't think that's how that should go with this. And at this point, he's just like, fine, fuck it, what he says, it doesn't matter. He's a producer.
Who cares?
See the fat Diesel memes back out now. But it's got split to where he's like on like a corner balcony. He's like, when I smell barbecue, I walk outside to see which neighbor it is. It's so good. Because he's like fat in that.
It's all about gravy.
I mean, Vin Diesel could Steven Seagal it up, but he hasn't quite done that. So let's...
The only difference is Steven Seagal would probably fucking kill you still versus Vin Diesel.
That's true. He's a fat master, but yeah.
I will say the hand-to-hand combat scenes with Vin Diesel, there's not as many in these last couple movies as there were in the earlier ones, and more of the secondary characters doing a lot of the hand-to-hand combat. Almost everybody's like,
I mean, that's too many 50 dudes.
There's too many options where a shirt could go up and you can see his belly hanging out as he's fighting, so he's just avoiding.
You just stand there crossing his guns that are out to play.
And honestly, as he's
resting on his belly.
He's kind of gotten a little bigger, The Rock just seems to be like adding more muscle mass every movie, so you know, I don't know if he wants to have that side-by-side comparison.
Go to work.
Yeah.
That's because Vin Diesel's traveling gym is like a barbecue grill.
That's why he rips the sleeves off is that he just uses too much of the fuel on the fire and he ends up burning his sleeves off most of the time. So he just rips them off ahead of time.
Oh, it's because he ran out of napkins and he wouldn't stop eating. So he just wipe them off.
I need somebody to wipe my mouth.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm looking greasy.
Gotta wipe off the moneymaker.
Ooh.
So you just see in the back of his car a bunch of like ripped sleeves with barbecue sauce all over them.
All right, what we are talking about in this episode is clearly Vin Diesel's eating habits.
Yes.
We're having a whole long hour episode about that. But no, honestly, we are talking about Fast and the Furious 9. The Fast Saga is the...
F9, the Fast Saga.
That's why...
Because they couldn't figure out a way to put 9 anywhere else in the title, like The Fate of the Furious things of that sort.
What did they do with 7?
It was Furious 7.
Furious 7. So they just kind of flip it around.
What was 6?
Fast and Furious.
I think it was Fast. Yeah,
Fast and Furious was 5.
They took out the does.
Well, no, that was 5. And that's what they did with Part 1 and Part 4, is literally the difference is there's no does.
No, 5 was Fast 5.
That's right. Fast 5, Fast 7.
And then Furious 7, and then 6 was... Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
And so they're just getting down to where by 10, it's not even going to be the number or a letter. It's just going to be like... It's going to be like a guttural noise.
Vroom.
Kids, y'all want to go see Flaten? Like, that's the old... Flaten.
Flatagon. Oh, no, we're summoning shit.
Yeah, right.
Summoning shit.
No, we just figured out how they can top 9.
Okay, Cthulhu is the final beat. Cthulhu is the final bad. Yes. The final bad, dude.
I would sell children.
Because they haven't done underwater either.
On the black market to watch a Lovecraftian Fast and Furious.
Well, 10 should be... more Furious than Fast. Furious has come to dominate the franchise, and the Fast is secondary now.
The post-apocalypse, Fast and Furiosa, and they already have Charlize Theron in
there. You go.
So we're good to go.
It's an origin story.
Yeah,
right. Spitting gold. No, but they haven't been underwater for like a final bad. They had the submarine where they were on top of ice, but they haven't actually done anything underwater. So if they come across Cthulhu and awaken the ancient beast.
And they've had a superhero, but that was Hobbs and Shaw, so they could get away. They haven't gone to the Mystic Arts yet. So.
Well, let's not blow our load just yet. Yeah. We are doing Fast 9 review, so if you care about spoilers,
That's weird. That doesn't really matter in this case.
They drive cars really fast.
It's not like the twist is that nobody dies in the Furious movies and they come back at some point. We're going to get into this and, of course, talk a little bit about the previous films as well on this episode of Geeks on the Influence. Welcome.
Zombies at work and shall be again. A changing of the guards and dying marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong. So you better join us now. You better do it fast or you will be dead. Fight! Don't know the gun because it's compromised but dead.
Sorry. Family is...
Family.
We're doing family.
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 I like... That became a joke like 5 movies ago.
Yeah.
About it being like a thing that's said all the time. And now they didn't back away from that. They just went... They bear-hugged
the shit out of that.
That was Dom's fucking, like, remembrance of words of advice from his father. He's like, see, Dom? This is a charger. You take care of it, and it lasts you forever, just like family.
They had to show an origin of why he says family so much.
Fuck.
Like us as an audience, we're like, why does he say family so much? And they were like, here, we're gonna give you the origin of exactly why he says it.
That's like the cut on Harrison Ford's chin in Last Crusade, where it's like the origin is that he didn't know how to use a whip when he first got it.
And that lasted forever.
And this is the family origin.
And they establish it as a genetic curse now. Yes, from the Toretto's, I passed down this curse that my father passed down to me to say family every 45 minutes or you die.
It's the worst speed sequel ever.
Yeah, I want to see him say family and then knock on something like 5 times and do something else and you just realize it's an OCD thing he has to do.
Oh man, I would love the Toretto's just to have OCD and that's like the 10 is just them dealing with having to open and close the locks on the doors every like 8 times before making sure the stove isn't on.
What money did Dad owe that as a NASCAR driver, the only solution was...
He wasn't NASCAR.
Or stock car then, all right?
Because he said, like, made it into Busch. So, like, Mercedes don't make a lot of money if you're not, like...
I guess, but enough that you got to Earnhardt yourself? Like, I mean, I don't...
He didn't try to Earnhardt himself, though. He was going to throw the race.
I don't know, that flashback made it look like he was kind of...
He was going to do something to throw the race to where he would lose, but he couldn't make it look easy that he'd lose. He had, like, a car malfunction. Well, it backfired, and that's...
Okay.
They killed him. They actually explained that.
The dude smashed
him. The one time there's important dialogue, they actually explained that. So no, like he wasn't supposed to die.
Yeah.
Now speaking of family, the GUI family that's here on this episode, we've got 4 panelists that are ready to talk about the absolute batshit insanity
yes.
that is the Fast and Furious saga, mostly on F9. To my left, from my handle is Jonathan Blade. We've got Tondi here.
What's up, kids? Ready to ride.
I am so excited for you to be on this one. I am mainly because you watched some of the Fast and Furious movies getting prepared for this. You have unreasonable, like, not, you appreciate these movies against your better sense.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe. It's kind of infectious. It kind of represents what the Fast and the Furious concept is, which is, you notice how each movie they have a villain. And then they kind of Katamari that villain into the family. Like the Borg Collective is what the family is, and that's what it does to your mind. It brings you into the Fast and Furious Borg Collective. I was like everybody else, was like, this is stupid, as my mind was cinema-sensing these movies. But at this point, yeah, I'm on board. Show me stupid shit that doesn't make any sense. I'm all about it.
See, I had a different assumption for you. I know you're a fan of martial arts films, and I just... thought that maybe you saw the Fast and the Furious movies as the America's response to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Instead of wire work, it's just like absurd gravity-defying explosions and
actually,
car chases.
Even more relevant than that, it is America's response to Indian cinema. Like the aforementioned horse being drifted under a bus.
Yeah.
That's what the Fast and the Furious movies are. It's America's response to how ridiculous Indian cinema gets.
That's true, because I've seen a number of Indian films where like Robot and Bang Bang that they get so absurd at their level of action that it's
like we just learned how to use Premiere Pro. Oh yeah,
you have to pause just so you can wrap your head around what you just saw.
I don't even remember what the movie was, but the bad guy tells the good guy in this Bollywood movie that he killed his mom and enraged our hero so much that literally the shirt just shreds off of him.
Yeah.
And as they're fighting next to a tractor, The good guy grabs the bad guy and puts his mouth on the you know, smokestack, and literally that's how he's murdering him. And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And yes, I could see the inspiration for that going into the Fast and Furious movies.
It's amazing. So talking on the mic is a longtime fan of the Fast and Furious movies. The one that actually was one of my friends that really pushed me to give the later films a little bit more of a chance. I saw the first Fast and the Furious movie, hated it to death.
As you should.
Yeah, it's fucking miserable. I watched half of the second one, I think, and went, nope, I'm done. I'm never going to watch these again, and was convinced five on was the way to go. We've got Fuck You Hunter from Beautiful Disasters and Mouths of Madness.
What's up, bitches?
What's up, bitches?
Yeah, it's one of those trying to get people to take that jump. And again, just stay away from the first four and check it. I think Lowdown and myself just kept telling you, like, just give it a chance. And once you did, and I guess I'll just throw out there, you know, we've been working on Groots, my, you know, co-host of Beautiful Disasters. He finally took the plunge. He watched 7 and 8, and he watched 9 with me, and he's in. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's an exciting moment.
Smash was the other one, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, another early adopter of the Fast series. Though, I guess we're all of the same opinion that the first, like, what, first three or four
first
sucked?
First three are terrible. And the sad thing is I watched all of the first
three. You have to be a car guy. If you're, like, deep into the car culture, then...
A specific car guy.
Yeah, you got to be...
Well, just for the first two. The third one actually brings in muscle cars, which is cool. Like, more so than the final car in the first two.
The first four are kind of just car movies with a little bit of action. And five on, it's action movies that they can only do stuff in cars. Like, that's about it.
Yeah, so they have the car is the catalyst for the action.
Like, Spider-Man's only effective in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Versus rural suburbs. Yeah, right.
Like, you want to see an awesome parachuting scene? Yeah. I mean, but they're going to be in cars. You do know right? Like, they can't parachute without their cars.
Yeah, so Lowdown is here to talk
about this.
Fast Cars and Furious Vin Diesels, I guess.
He doesn't have any you can't tell if he's furious or not.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to kill that guy. Are you? Because you seem like you just woke up.
I'm going to kill you.
He's like groggy from a nap in his trailer.
I just throw out there, when they reveal Michelle Rodriguez is alive in 6, and they show him a photo, and you would expect, like, holy shit, or like some kind of stunned reaction, but it's Vin Diesel, where he just looks at it and says nothing. And you know he's not stunned. It's just Vin Diesel, so that's the only thing you can do is look at the photo and go, all right, like, okay.
Well, Vin Diesel's acting style is, I have sunglasses on right now. He doesn't have sunglasses on at the time, but that's his acting style.
Or you could say he's about to sneeze every scene, but doesn't sneeze. He's close to sneezing, but doesn't sneeze. That's his acting style.
It's all about, I got it. I got it. Hold on. The man who finally watched them and now understands. He understands.
Family.
He's like part of the family.
It's all family as long as nobody's wearing sleeves. That's where I draw the line. You're kicked
He's
out of family.
He's the only one not wearing sleeves, though. It doesn't work.
Do you think they talk about the fact that he never wears clothes with sleeves on it, like behind his back, where they're like, great.
100%.
Like, I respect him to death. Dude, it's your wedding. Why weren't you wearing sleeves on your... It's your wedding. Like, what were you doing?
Groom's choice.
That's true.
Although I got to say, I think even one of the showrunners, I think Scotty wasn't wearing sleeves on his wedding. So
see, it's part of the family.
I mean, he looks basically exactly the same as Vin Diesel. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you close your eyes, so the same person.
Yeah, same exact person.
Mm-hmm. Same voice and everything.
The number. I mean, he is Geek Father, so he is all about family.
That's true.
So, that's true.
What was he, the sexual nugget? Is that what we decided for Scotty? the last...
something like that. Yeah, the sexual nugget or something. Yeah, I don't know. He's got a laundry list of nicknames.
He really does.
Nugget doesn't work, though, because Nugget still has a tan.
That's true.
He's not Nugget.
Like, if Scotty was ever wanted by the law, the aliases on the post office, like, flyer would be 3 pages long of just all the aliases that we've given him over the years. Mike the Hobbit, check out GUIPodcast.com for links to previous episodes, other shows on the network, all our social media. Check us out. Join the conversation. Let's get to it. We have so much to unpack.
Oh, man. This movie doesn't fuck around, by the way. Like, literally, some of them, they kind of build up and, you know, set up everything. This one's like, what, 15 minutes in? We're in the jungle. We're already being chased.
Okay, like, yeah, we have to start at the very beginning, and we need to, because they don't waste any fucking time.
No.
You get, like, maybe 45 seconds of an establishment of, like, they live on a farm.
Wait, do they?
The little kid has like an eerie knowledge of
metric tools where he's like, is that correct? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, the 6-inch one is the one you want. Like, just damn fully it. Aware of.
Do you think Dom's a tough love dad? Like, even for this little child, he's like, get the belt. It's 5 to 6 millimeters. Get the belt.
I think the kid is just like going to end up disowning his entire family because like if I hear it's all about family one more time.
I like the fact that, again, we established they are in a rural setting by Michelle Rodriguez coming out in her overalls. And just to exclamation point that, yeah, like, yeah, we're on the country now. Like, I don't usually wear these, but I'm wearing them now because we're in the country.
Does anybody else feel like Dom and Letty are in a completely different movie from everybody else that's in the movie? Like, the movie they're in is serious. There's some gravity, or they feel like the stuff is important, and nobody else in the movie feels that way, and they're not treating the movie in the same way that Dom and Letty are.
Well, you could say that because throughout the movies, they're not communicating with walkies. Everybody else has to use a walkie, but there are scenes throughout these movies where Dom will just look at Letty, and they'll have a full conversation in separate cars, not using walkies. So yeah, they have that connection that nobody else has. Where
well,
they don't
I
even
think they're doing the
they
Avengers
don't even
earpiece thing.
No, because then he'll pick up the walkie and talk to everybody else.
Yeah, so he had a walkie.
Yeah, he had a walkie. But I'm just saying they seem to have this communication.
Well, that was established in 8 when Dom went rogue, and she knew that there was something affecting him because they looked at each other. And so she knew it was communicated to her psychically.
Which is the same as in part 6 when she was the bad guy. Yep, he knew, even though she shot him, she didn't try to really shoot
him.
Wait,
does that mean the next movie it's just going to be like Tyrese and Ludacris as the bad guys?
God, I would hope so. Holy shit.
They're like, no, I think we need to resurrect Cthulhu.
You're going
to
get like 12 flashbacks and see that Roman was actually behind all of the shit.
Roman is actually Charlize Theron's boss.
Yes.
Cypher's boss.
Please.
And he's been usual suspecting it the whole time.
Oh, you mean they're going to do something with Roman? Awesome. Can I tell you, I hate Roman. He's doing the biggest cooning in modern movies that I've ever seen. He should have blackface on his blackface so people can better see his eyes and teeth. I hate what Tyrese is doing in these movies. I am personally offended every time I see him on screen in one of these movies. That's just me.
I get what you're saying, though, is that he's being the stereotype of...
of everything.
Everything, yeah. Okay.
And getting paid a lot of money for it.
But he's being the Transformers 2 robots.
No.
I mean,
but... This dude needs some tap shoes. He is ridiculous.
In this series, isn't everybody kind of pushed on that? Like, you have every, like, Lily and Gal Gadot's character. Like, literally anytime...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty much, they're like, okay...
Giselle, let's
just sex it up to do what we need to. And it's like, but you have all this knowledge of driving cars. But this is the part where I just get sexy and do this. Like, they just can't help but lean on those type
of... That's actually what informed me about the level of creativity with the writing for these movies. They were like, tall, hot chick, just Giselle. Like, just pick a model name and just go with that. Tall model. There's one called Giselle. Let's just call her that.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine.
I appreciate how Ludacris went from just being a really good mechanic to a tech expert.
Genius.
Yeah, it went from him knowing cars to him going, I got this. I can get into the mainframe
and like,
do this.
Rain like, Man with
how?
Numbers.
How did that happen?
Because they needed a thing to differentiate him for how offensive Tyrese's character was going to be. We're going to make you smart because we are really going to, we're going to go there with Tyrese.
But to the point, he's showing Ramsey when the tech cyber genius, whatever, how to do things by part 8. Literally the person that's world renowned for her ability to like come up with all this stuff. And he's like, oh, let me show you how to do this. And you're like, she's a girl. Yeah, pretty much.
She's a girl, so she needs help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that they even made her inept at driving. Well, she's so smart that she can't drive and also be smart. She can't have both of those things going for her.
I believe it was because like no one really drives in England is what she said. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, that's
or
what she said. Well, in the city, she's from London. Yeah. They don't drive in the city.
But I like that. That's even
true.
That's even like just doing the same thing that they did with Tyrese, but with British people, where it's just like the Brits, like none of them drive, right?
Yeah, that's a British thing, right? Yeah.
They're unfamiliar with. They all drive. They all get in those black cabs, right? They just go in those taxi cabs and.
Yeah, and their little toy cars, and they drive around the Piccadilly Circle over and over again.
The cars with the three wheels instead of four, that's the ones they do.
Little pedicabs. You know, what Ramsey made me notice is that as the movies have gone on, once you become part of the core cast, or just the movie in general, The movie's become more and more sexless over time over the past 20 years, except for that one scene that every movie has with bikini babes in cars.
Yeah, you got to do it.
And you get to see the evolution of what beauty is in our culture, because in the first five movies, it's little booty sexy, little booty girls with bikinis being sexy. And seven, you get some, they're not quite donks, but the kind of butts I like. In seven, just, yeah.
Painted gold,
and,
you mean?
And one of the girls that is, gets showed off that way is her. And then in eight and nine, you've got, you know, a little bit more form than you had in the earlier movies.
Thrown in a little more Latin flavor in there.
The thing about with seven is, though, if you'd watched Game of Thrones, you've already seen her naked, so it really wasn't much imagination, though. I was like,
well, I appreciated it. It was nice.
I'm not saying, no, it was still attractive, but it's like, I've seen you naked. This is kind of like, really? You should have the nude scene.
I don't know if there's something the producers have stressed in every movie, but you have at least in every movie one scene of hot girl party, techno DJ playing, like slow motion. Every movie. But no matter where they are, if they've got to go meet somebody, at some point they're going to run into hot, slow dancing, techno girl dancing
and
party.
And potentially Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, yeah.
And then potentially Cardi B, what the fuck?
That was so fucking bad.
That is,
dude, she had the worst line reading I've ever heard. Her last line in that scene is the worst
I at the moment was like, oh, that's rough.
It's like, not only do I think that her music is trash, she literally can't even talk.
I didn't know if anybody here did, because just the few people that were in the theater with me, we all groaned, and yeah, I didn't know if you were in with a larger crowd, if it was a larger groan when she showed up.
There were like eight people in my theater as well. So but I will say, it feels like that they wanted a female Dom character to take on like an Ocean's 8 type spinoff, and they were introducing that she has a girl gang. And if Dom is the leader of the Fast and the Furious franchise, Cardi B isn't a bad choice for a female spinoff. Mm, really.
But I don't think they were positioned. I think they were doing something cheesy, which is what this. I think cheese is what this movie does actually well. And I didn't mind Cardi B in that position. She wasn't good, which is fine. But that she was bad, bad, bad. And then that line reading for whatever she said before they cut the scene was just like.
It was cringe. It was cringe.
It just felt forced, which is weird to say because. If there's one thing the series has done, it's grabbed so many people and thrown them into this. And for some reason, her cameo just didn't fit. Like, I mean, dude, I always go back to the end of fucking Six, the credit scene, and fucking Statham shows up.
That was
awesome. Fuck yeah. Nobody's saying that about her appearance in this like they were about Statham. Like, there's certain level of you just like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, okay, yeah, let's bring Kurt Russell in. That makes sense. And here it's just like, doesn't really fit in as much as the other cameos and kind of, you know.
Sure. As far as I know, I don't think Cardi B's done a lot of acting.
I don't think so.
I'm
seeing her in anything.
And if one thing Fast and Furious does is it does allow the opportunity for musicians to come onto the screen and do their thing. So, but also, like, this isn't the movie that you're going to get the best female rapper actress to be in. They don't give a shit. Vin Diesel is the lead. Like, what bar are you trying to reach?
They got The Rock.
I will give you
that. Statham. They've got everybody better than Vin Diesel in the movie already.
And so, that's like, look, for Diesel, he's worked out amazing because it's still his name.
Yeah.
Top
seriously.
Of there.
Seriously.
Well, but people aren't going for him.
I don't think we
him.
Need to harp on Cardi B and being in there being wooden as an actress. Being like, yes, I also assembled a team of female badasses. Cool. That's great, Cardi B. Okay. Goodbye. And then leaves. Okay, who cares? Who fucking cares? Yeah. It's fine.
Well, it's supposed to be fun. And I don't think we should... Well, we can, because he's a laughable human being, but it's you shouldn't give Vin Diesel too much shit, because he's kind of brilliant. He's built a brand not doing much. Like, he invested in, like, got his face in video games. He was really good in Pitch Black. And yeah,
Iron Giant.
Yeah, and Iron Giant, and now he's doing Groot, which is nothing. Anybody could do Groot. They could modulate anybody. Any producers. You want to be Groot? Yeah.
But do you know how much money he probably makes off of just saying those three words? God damn it! That's an amazing paycheck.
Could have
just say I am Groot. Yeah.
I am the love.
Remember the Groot? They talked about that he had said I am Groot 600 different ways for inflection, and you bet your ass he was like, Oh, so I don't actually have to choose which ones work for the scene. I just say a bunch of them, and then you just apply them where they make the most sense. So everybody's making the acting choices for me. Fucking rad. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, he was great as Groot. No, he wasn't. He just said, I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. Just 600 times.
Couldn't they just do that with these movies, times. And it would be the same thing? I am Dom. I am Dom. And people are like, Dom. Yes, Dom. We understand.
It's all about family?
Yeah, family.
It's all about family.
Yeah. If you just said family, that's right. Yeah. Family? Oh, Dom's angry. Family? Oh, Dom's happy.
It's not just the... He's got a bunch of... I think I quoted some of these. Oh, American Muscle. He says that a bunch. That's one of his catchphrases.
If he's overseas, yeah. Anybody dare say anything, he's like, you don't know about American Muscle.
Oh, speaking of, I do want to dig into that first car chase through the fucking jungle.
Dude, who the fuck drives a Charger bit? Through the fucking jungle?
That's what I'm saying. They're like, okay, we've got like a... Well, first off, they've got a big cargo plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we're going to take this cargo plane to a place within however many hours it took for them to drive to Dom's place to tell him that there was like something happening.
Right.
And then drive to the nearest like military airport that could handle a cargo plane. And then Dom follow them and get into the plane and then fly down there. Clearly, this was about 45 minutes it took because the plane's still on fire.
Thank you.
When they show
yes,
up.
Yes, and I said that when we watched it. I said, how fast did they get there? Because it's smoldering. Like, it's on fire.
It wasn't the fasteness. It was the furiousness
yes,
in which
yes.
they got there.
The whole time, little Brian's like, can somebody get me some milk? Or is anybody home? Is anybody home?
Oh, man. Poor Brian.
But so they get there, and to prepare for what they know is a jungle environment with, like, dirt roads, the first thing you see is that they're on, like, a death road that's on the edge of a fucking cliff, and they're driving wide as fuck American muscle cars.
No, they're driving one wide. The other ones make sense. You've got a Jeep Gladiator truck with mud tires.
You've okay,
got
no, that
the only sure. only car that does not make sense is the fucking Charger.
Oh, no, and then the other car, which is, I didn't see who was driving. I couldn't see him. So,
okay.
I
don't know. Oh, yeah. Then the Mustang shows up. So you got the two Coretto douches driving a Mustang and a fucking Charger
because
in the jungle.
You have to let...
Come on!
If you're out of the country, let them know that you're from America by driving that. So you represent, even though it's the most impractical vehicle
Dude,
to have in that
the
environment
dirt bike makes
ever.
Sense. Every other car makes sense besides those
what's
two.
What's impractical is that they're like, there's 10 minutes that we have before the military rounds come through. And apparently... They have 70 vehicles and an attack chopper on the fucking rounds for this, this
yeah,
like
not
plane crash in
not,
the mountains.
But I'm saying not investigating the plane crash, just making the rounds. There's a plane crash.
Plane still crashed.
And
oh no, there's people here.
Nobody
people
shows
be
up.
Here.
Nobody shows up for what we would say was at least hours or days.
You're around a bunch of plants and wood. You should probably put out the fires
yeah.
that are there.
But they're like, the military is just going to do their normal rounds. How long are the rounds if a plane was able to crash in between rounds and nobody noticed it? So
I love how at the end of that scene is when you get the first idea that, okay, this whole movie is going to be the two Toretto brothers one-upping each other. Because he gets picked up with magnets by a plane, and then Dom does
Which,
the fucking cable hook
shit.
Thing. And okay. I was like, oh, you two are just swinging dicks right now, man. That's all you're doing. Just swinging dicks.
Instead of, like, because they talked about, or Ludacris talked at length about, like, it all math and it adds up. But I think instead of, like, mathematicians or scientists trying to explain the physics of this movie, they got fucking juggalos to explain everything because they clearly didn't know how magnets worked at any point in this movie.
I just thought it was interesting, the bridge scene before, like, where literally, before the magnet scene, where I guess if a bridge does explode, a la Looney Tunes, you just drive really fast, and you can drive up the fucking bridge, the last part, to get over the other side. Because I was like, that's not how that works.
The Looney Tunes, like piano key noises.
You have to have some kind of tension in order to drive up. Cars don't go straight up.
No. I was trying to think,
well, if you have the right tires.
Was the hill,
oh, that's what it
was
is,
the
yeah.
hill like... Somewhat slanted, because then the right tires would, but no, it was flat. I'm like, how the fuck are
no,
they going
the bridge
up there?
Is collapsing. There is no tension. And they go, just drive faster. That's how we make
it. It's like
it to the
landmine. 80 miles an hour. Like, what the
These
fuck?
Are stupid landmines.
It's not about tension. It's not about the physical tension of the bridge. It's not about tension anywhere in the movie. There's no tension. It's about spectacle. So going in understanding that nothing, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That nothing matters. You understand that. Like, any of the emotional tension they try to create, who cares? The actors are not their legacy might get you into it, but the actors are not doing good enough to pull that off. It's just about the spectacle. The spectacle's what brings you in. Nobody's going to die.
With the Magnus stuff, it's like they watch that one scene from one episode of Breaking Bad and like, all right, that's it, we're using it. I don't know what the hell, how they built it, but that's what we're going with.
That's exactly like, what we're going to go with.
When I first saw that Dom had fit the super magnets in his car, and I'm like, you fit that many magnets in your trunk? And then I realized, no, they split up between a bunch of different cars that only the bad guys' cars were affected. They were able to turn on the super magnets next to each other and not affect one another at all at any point.
Or their cars.
None whatsoever. People's cell phones were being sucked out of their hands to hit the side of
if the magnet was
cars.
That close, you would literally pull your motor back, like, through the car.
What setting did they use to bring specifically the power lines down? Where they're like, all right, now do it, so and power lines come down. But apparently, nothing else.
This was in Europe, or it was in Scotland, I think, that they were using the magnet a lot. So I know they do actually... I don't know why I know this, have a lot of underground power lines instead of the poles like we do in the United States. That is actually true.
Because they spend money on infrastructure.
So maybe that was my one explanation, but I'm like, but no, there's like steel beams, there's like fucking street signs, there's all sorts of shit that should have bent forward. It was only when they're like, oh, yeah, power lines, that they're like, okay, cool.
Literally the thing we learned in sixth grade science about magnets, they just threw out the fucking, like, magnets work with only specific, you can target certain metals. All the other metals just ignore the magnetic field.
You cannot think about this in any kind of rational way at all. Like, okay, these guys are driving with magnets that are powerful enough that they shouldn't actually be moving forward, but they are.
Yeah.
And also,
the car never goes to whatever it's attracted to. Like, the thing goes to it.
Right behind the car is where the objects go. It is stupid-ass shit what it is. And, you know, spectacle. Yay, spectacle.
But we learned in part 5 that the cars control how, like, with the pulling a safe, and then the safe throws them, and it pulls again. We learned the rules of the car just vary in each movie of how heavy they are, what speeds they can go at certain times. Like, that's just the thing. So with the magnets, it's just, yeah, again, like a safe, they just kind of make their own rules.
Yeah, that's what this entire movie is. And honestly, that is the most challenging part for me with watching these movies, is that it's not... that gravity doesn't exist, that physics don't exist. I loved Shoot 'em Up. I love those fucking ridiculous movies that are like over the top action. Science doesn't matter. Like physics don't exist. Totally
Devil
down
May
for
Cry.
It. But the things they establish within the film that aren't true about physics, they don't stand by at any point in the film. Like, they are constantly rewriting the way fake physics works in their own world where physics doesn't work. And so I have to so many times in these movies. And the thing is, it's worth it because it is just dumb brain candy. But it's so hard to be like, what? Okay, no. Okay, these are people that started stealing VCRs, and now they're working for a super elite Black Ops team driving cars.
Yeah.
So if you accept that, you have to accept literally everything else.
Yep.
It's junk food cinema. I will eat Doritos, but I do not want to turn the bag around and look to see what's in the Doritos. Because then the realization of what's happening, that's what these movies are.
I could not think of a better comparison than that.
Analogy,
that's fucking perfect, yeah. And I think that's a perfect time for us to take our break on the Doritos comparison. I think that's the Doritos of cinema.
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about what we're drinking, do a drunken scene or two, and get into the rest of Fast 9, the Fast and Furious saga.
Huzzah.
Stick around.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up, available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things F9. It's not just a key on your keyboard, it's also a movie starring Vin Diesel. But before we get into that, we're going to be getting into our sponsors a little bit. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. If you want to buy gifts for your family, because it's all about family, make sure you do it through the link at GUIpodcast.com. In our links page, front page, we've got links to Amazon. You go through that link, we get credit for anything you purchase. So if you're buying the previous Fast and Furious films, if you're going through Vin Diesel's amazing Oscar-worthy catalog of films like Babylon AD, then you can purchase those through our link.
He did a comic adaptation, Bloodshot, that came out right before everything shut down last year.
What was the movie he did where he was a mobster that wore a toupee and it was like circa like 2004?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember that.
He was in the boiler room with a...
That was actually a pretty good role. Yeah. That he was solid in that.
With his hair.
With his actual hair.
I will say this, Bloodshot, it's a terrible fucking movie.
Yes.
But it's kind of good terrible.
No, it's not.
No, it's got some moments.
I haven't watched it drunk with friends.
You watch it sober?
I watched it sober and alone.
Oh,
which were the two things I didn't want to be after watching half of that movie.
Yes. That's a no. No, yeah. Don't do that.
So if you want to put yourself through what we apparently have and watch other Vin Diesel films, then take a purchase. You can find probably Babylon AD for $2.99 used on DVD at Amazon.
What's that one that he was in that was actually good?
Pitch Black. Yeah.
Boiler Room?
Boiler Room was good too, yeah.
Boiler Room was good.
I'm thinking of Boiler Room.
Knock Around Guys. Wasn't he in that?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Was that him and Seth Green, which I never thought I would say, like, you know, starring Vin Diesel and Seth Green.
Yeah. From Pitch Black, Vin Diesel. From Robot Chicken and Airborne.
Thank you. I was about to fucking say Airborne.
Oh, I have it on DVD. I make no fucking marks. Like, that is my movie. I grew up loving Airborne.
So 90s and so terrible.
So fucking terrible.
I say Idle Hands.
Yep.
Ooh, Idle Hands. No, that's actually a good early Seth Green role.
Yeah,
Airborne is not.
It's dog shit,
but I love it so much. So if you want to get Airborne or or Idle Hands, also through our link at GUIpodcast.com, give us a couple bucks just from shopping Amazon as you normally would, which hopefully isn't just buying Vin Diesel movies.
Oh, God.
Or whatever brings in the money.
Yeah, whatever brings in the money. We're cool.
There is the Fast Collector set, which I think is just up to 7, but it's the big wheel that has all the movies and the big rim. Yeah.
Big rim, yeah. Yeah. You get it. I mean, buy something else, please. Buy something else. You can get a fleshlight. That's more.
Right?
That's better than.
Ooh, a Vin Diesel fleshlight. Very nice. Good call.
It's just a mouth.
It's all about coming.
Yeah, coming.
but it's weird when you fuck.
It's all about potential family.
When you use it, it's like this audio thing that can sense it, and it just keeps saying family, so it's like incestual. It's weird.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Oh.
I mean, stepsister and stepmother porn is really popular right now. So yeah.
That's not really incest. It's
close enough that I'm
close
not.
Enough. It's, yeah, it's uncomfortable.
You know,
yes.
They only call it step because that's what's legal. So,
but what if my father finds out? Which is, or whatever.
Oh,
fucking
God.
No. Okay. Then.
So next up, a far less incestual way to appreciate GUI with your monies is to get some merch. So much merch available at TeePublic. Just hit up GUIpodcast.com/store. Or GUIpodcast.com and click on the store link. We'll send you to TeePublic, where we have close to 40 designs available on our page with designs from all the different shows on the network, weird fun designs, references to things we've said on the show before, all sorts of stuff available at TeePublic. And that's the best way to support the show. Up to this point, we've been donating to the Holly Fund, just dropped our last bucket of cash on, and bucket of cash was not...
Don't say the amount. It's not going to sound very impressive.
I'm not going to. Maybe covered the bottom of a small bucket.
Okay.
The amount of money that we put.
If you made it all in change, then yeah.
If it was change, then it would look way more impressive.
Yeah.
Pennies, especially. But yeah, we have been donating to the Holly Fund during the pandemic. We are, as the restaurants are opening up, we're now going to be keeping some of that money. So please help us out.
We can
So we can, you know, buy booze and microphones and whatever other shit for the...
what kind of... No, because apparently all we can afford is the shit that you're sharing with us. And we're not... No.
The booze that's being shared isn't because that's all I could afford. It's because that's all that this movie is worth.
No. I meant that's all apparently... It sounds like it's all we can afford from our merch money, so...
Yeah, like, it's your fault that we're about to drink what we're drinking. No, because that's the thing. If that's the case, they're going to be like, oh, then let's not give them money because this is amazing.
Make them drink shit, yeah.
Yeah, our fans want to hurt us.
Yeah. Is there an option where I can purchase a shirt but not have the money go to GY?
Yeah, so they have to drink shit.
So
that does... It's a perfect lead into our next segment, which is a segment where we talk about the real motivator for episodes of GY. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
We're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Yay. And just like the torture that was having to watch this film in the theater for this episode. No, actually, I had a blast, honestly. Like, it was...
Oh, it's fun. So much fun. It was a lot of fun.
It's like being into BDSM a little bit, where it's painful, but it's kind of that good painful.
Yeah. I'll just throw out there, it's like the Bond movies from the 80s that if you go back and watch those Bond movies, they're so fucking ridiculous.
They're garbage. Yeah.
But I remember as a kid when I watched it, I was like, this is fucking awesome. That's kind of how I feel with these movies, is they're kind of the Bond level, just so fucking ridiculous. You're like, all right, I'm in.
Well, and speaking of ridiculous, we do have two things to try on our what we're drinking that are absolutely ridiculous. Maybe not as fun as the Furious movies are, but they are definitely ridiculous enough to be something that is sponsored and in the movies. I brought for our enjoyment, mentioned on the last episode where I was teasing Lowdown that he is too bougie to be drinking the shit that we drank when we were younger. And you said yourself, was like, oh, Steel Reserve has been out of your purview for half of your life at this point.
So we had to blame Lowdown.
And it still is, because that's not real. It's not real Steel Reserve.
No, this is Steel Reserve that's riding the train of like flavored fruity stuff. The first up is Steel Reserve Alloy Series, Hard Pineapple. And then we've got the Spiked Watermelon as well. And I will be posting on our social media, on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, the colors of these. It is you could dye eggs in the Steel Reserve. It is so overly colored.
The color, and I'd say some of the taste, it's like those, when you go to that sketchy convenience store and they have those off-brand sodas, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is, with just a little bit of alcohol.
I was thinking it was like the off-brand Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Dumped it in there.
Now, this is the kind of shit that you buy for your like little brother, your 16-year-old brother for his party, because the girls asked for it.
This is like if you got into your parents' liquor cabinet and all they had was vodka and you didn't have any mixers, but you had some of the unfrozen Freezy Pops and you just used that.
Just melted them and pour them.
Yeah, then that's what we're working
with. I'll give you that,
here.
Yeah.
I've definitely done that.
So we tried this. The pineapple it's too sweet for sure.
Yeah.
But it's manageable to a degree. It's not something I would be...
I have the right portion, which is just a little bit in the cup.
It's just over like a shot. Basically.
I wouldn't drink that can. No way.
It's pineapple upside down cake without the cake, just the topping. That is, that's how sweet this is.
Yeah, the glaze and the pineapple.
Yep.
That's two episodes in a row that had an overly sweet pineapple thing. The first one just tastes like pineapple juice, which is fine. This is like, pineapple's not sweet enough. Let's put some simple syrup
in there. It's like pineapple
brought
to you by Fanta. Like
last episode you had the...
Tiki Slam, I think it was called.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you had the Mama's Cobbler.
Or then it was the episode... No, I was drinking on the Tiki Slam.
The mean cobbler, yeah.
But yeah, this is 8%.
Okay.
And it tastes like bad college girl decisions.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Watermelon is virtually impossible to drink.
Well, it tastes like Jolly Rancher. It's not what I would look for in a beverage at the advanced age I am, but it's there.
But somehow you find yourself here in a situation where that is put in front of you.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, we might be friends after this. I'm not sure. We're going to have to kind of see how this goes.
Both of these taste like something you'd use to murder a diabetic. Let's just say that,
if the diabetes doesn't take me, then...
Yeah.
Why doesn't Tandy come on anymore? Well... Yeah.
After he lost his foot, he's kind of bitter and...
It's fucking terrible. So I would not suggest checking out Steel Reserve watermelon or pineapple, but if it's something that is matching Fast and the Furious, this
when you leave watching F9 and you want something just to keep that theme going, there you go.
If you want something so sugary that it makes your pupils dilate, then this is the way to go for sure. So that is what we're drinking.
A little pixie stick beverage, yeah.
Now Tony brought a tasty beverage as well that Lowdown's also enjoying. Mm-hmm. What are you sipping on here?
This is the Tart Monkey. It's a sessionable sour at 4.9% alcohol with guava. The guava is very understated, and it's not, like I was expecting something more like a Gosa. It's not quite that sour. It's really pleasant, especially, like I was... kind of not sold on it, just drinking it by itself, but after the Steel Reserve.
It's refreshing.
This is whiskey.
Fuck
this is
yeah.
like a fine Scotch. Like, age. Yeah.
It's delicious. Yeah.
So get some shit Steel Reserve and that, and then it'll taste amazing.
It tastes amazing.
Seriously. Yeah. It's really tasty. I mean, fuck, this PBR would have done the trick after drinking that shit. Fuck me.
See, that's what we're here for, is that we drink the shit that we do on this show so you don't have to, listeners.
No, we drink the shit because that's what Hobbit brought. Yeah. Damn it.
Still better than a NASCAR wine. I will always throw that out there. Yes. That NASCAR wine.
The Voodoo Sorts Donut. Age.
Oh, yeah. But that was for me. Yeah, that was sweet as
Voodoo
shit.
Voodoo Donut. That was also garbage. I think it was a Rogue that we did.
Yeah.
What flavor is that?
Oh, it's horrible.
I don't... sadness, I think. Sadness.
I brought some
flavor.
Tears
of a clown.
I brought like some mango habanero thing one time.
That sucked,
that
too.
That was fucking horrid.
That was like syrup. And then there was the Letterkenny episode where I did all the different like mixers.
Oh, yeah, you got punched on that one.
Creme de menthe, scotch, and...
He got a frog for that. I was so mad.
How did that not go well?
It was so disgusting.
It was so gross. Yeah. And strangely, not as sweet as the watermelon flavor.
It wasn't. But a mouthful of creme de menthe is not a good time.
No. But what is a good time is our next segment that we're doing on this, where we make fools out of ourselves while reminiscing about some of our favorite scenes from related stuff. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
It's all about me.
Yeah.
me.
So we have a scene I'm pulling up here. This is from Fast 8 that we're doing a scene from. There is not really much on the docket from the new movie yet.
So close to the
probably race. Be just as long for one movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a scene where they're talking about being on the most wanted list from their botched job, and it's between a number of the team and Mr. Nobody. So we have Mr. Nobody and Roman are the two major roles here. Does anybody have any?
I'll do Eric.
Eric?
Honestly, I vote Tony to do Roman.
I'm too bitter. I can't do it.
Yeah. Get it. Get some.
No, I will walk that fucking very, very dangerous tightrope walk.
I mean, I can do it. I just don't want to piss off Tandy anymore. Apparently, he's got strong feelings about
that
character.
I'm not sure if I trust you to do Roman.
I mean, you shouldn't.
No.
I don't give a fuck.
Lowdown did a voice on the show one day where the show stopped to talk about it because the impression was so offensive. But even as somebody outside the show, I was like, oh, damn, that was offensive. So, yeah, good for you. Do as you will.
Yes.
Which one was that?
I don't know. You've done that a couple times. So.
It's hard to keep track.
But I'm also like...
I also don't want to talk that
I'm
much.
Also like the white host being like, do I say anything? Like, I don't know. Nope. Staying out of this one. Fucking nope. But
it's not a big deal. You can have it. I don't want to talk that much.
Okay, fair enough.
You can have Eric. I'll do Roman.
Okay.
All right. Hunter, do you want to be Mr. Nobody, or I can be Mr. Nobody, or
I'll leave it up to you, man.
I'll be Mr. Nobody. You all get right. to be Tej.
Tej.
You get to be Tej Parker.
Does he have? Oh, they down at the bottom. I was like, where does he say anything?
Let's see. I'm making sure that's it. No. Okay. Yeah. So you get a really, really. I want to hear your best ludicrous impression, and by that I mean don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah. No.
Come on.
You want me to do the narration too?
Man, you guys are no fucking fun. Yeah. Just bunch of scared little.
Just replace the actual line with Luda. Yeah.
Bunch of scared bitches, all of you.
Yep, that's what it is. So first off, I'll start it with Mr. Nobody.
Thanks to your botched Berlin job, you all made Interpol's top 10 most wanted list.
Top 10? That's all right.
Well, not you, Roman.
Whatever do you mean?
You just missed the cut. You're number 11, so...
I missed? That's impossible.
Everyone snickers.
What number did they come in at?
Who's narrating?
I guess I was. Points to Hobbs.
6.
Points to Letty.
8.
Sorry.
Points to Taj. God damn it.
Saga. No, 9.
Points to Ramsey.
10.
She's 10? That's impossible. There's no way she's a 10.
Oh, she's definitely a 10.
I think Tondi overcorrected a little bit.
I was going to say. It's
a happy medium there, my dude.
That's impossible.
We had the same idea of just uptight British, you know.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Upstairs, downstairs, yeah. Mm. Little Bridgerton action.
That different, that's not our group. Not Bridgerton. That's a different show. Not our demo.
Well, you tell Amy to let me know when we can do a Bridgerton episode.
Oh, she fucking would. Don't get me wrong. Some feelings about it. So, yeah, okay. We are back into talking about Fast 9, F9 on this one. Yes.
All right. Are we going to talk about it? Fucking rocking on a fucking Pontiac?
Oh, I have
Jesus Christ.
A point that is to be fucking made on not the actual rocket moment, but what led up to it is the biggest issue that I have with this movie.
All right.
It's the biggest.
Oh, man. That's what I got to hear.
Because there's a point where they're like, we're going to need some cars. And you think they're going to go to like one of Dom's old friends that like steals cars and stuff. No, they go to like a experimental rocket place. Where they're putting like a rocket on a Ford or Fiero, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, a Fiero. And they're like, yeah, we need cars. This is before they knew they were going to space.
Yeah.
This is before there was any conversation about space being part of the plan at any point in time. So they were going to need some cars. And then magically, they find cars, not rocket cars. Just like Dom cars. Finds his car, and like they find their cars. Randomly, not related to the plot at all. And then later, luckily, they just knew they were going to need a car that could go into fucking space. And also, not only that, the car, the Fiero, was never meant to go into space. It was trying to beat like a jet or whatever, but they had time to incorporate fucking directional air blast bumpers on this fucking car.
And they
car.
Mounted it on a fucking... Oh my God.
It's not even the first Fiero.
You guys just missed Lowdown's blood vessel in his eye burst.
That's what I was
going to
say. Yeah. They have multiple.
They have multiple Fieros because the first one exploded.
Yeah.
So they went, bring up the backup Fiero.
Because well, we have a shitload of those.
We could try another car. No, it has to be this car.
They have 68 Ford Fieros waiting to be exploded.
See, that's where everyone dropped them off at. It was like, hey, you want to get rid of your shit box? We'll take it. So everyone that had one just dropped it off.
I'll be honest, that part kind of was talking shit about NASA, where it's like, oh, you guys take years and years and do all this calculations and shit like
mounted
that.
A car
we
to
fucking
a rocket.
Put a rocket on that.
And fucking scuba gear from 1968.
And like, did everything that you guys took years to accomplish. Because we're the Furious crew.
And then the cool thing about that scene was that they tried to name drop, and it was like, what? Like, I thought that was kind of cool. Like, the whole series is like, you drop Dom's names, like, oh, shit. Like, everyone knows who the fuck Dom is, right? And they're like, who? At first, they're like, oh, okay, who's that?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know who that is. Like, I thought that was great.
You know what would have made that scene perfect? So it's a callback to the Tokyo Drift or whatever. Those are those characters. Mm-hmm. It's just a way to get them in the movie. What would have been perfect for that scene is Exhibit.
Mm.
So we took your Fiero.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
He's the one that's like guarding the parking lot that they have all the other Fieros
in. Hit my
in.
Ride into space.
Well, genius.
That's currently the name of the episode. Pimp my space ride.
What's genius though is they had the space part going on with the magnet scenes, so they would cut back that I would forget that they were in space till they went back to it, because there was so much shit going on with the magnet rules and tossing shit around that you're just so distracted with that then they cut back, you know, oh, yeah, that's right. The other part of the team is in fucking space. And I would just go back and forth, and I would forget about the space part because that's the way the movies roll. Like, they literally just hit you over the head with so much shit going on, you forget something as crazy as that.
But that's also the conclusion of the weird Tyrese through line of him being invincible through the entire movie, which I loved. I was talking with Tondi about this before. I loved that was the biggest wink that they've ever done in these movies.
They broke the fourth, like, they literally
fully broke it.
He says what, for I think all of us here, the appeal of it is just what should normally kill most everybody. This team, now we've seen it in so many movies that they survive, and he brings that up. And he's in casual talk like, you know, we should all be fucking dead. Like, the amount of shit we've done, we don't even have fucking scars. And it's almost like he was just looking at the audience and just saying, mm-hmm. we acknowledge.
When they're in the space Fiero and they're about to, like, jet through like it's fucking The Last Jedi and just like rocket through the satellite, suicide mission the bitch, they approach the conversation about like science versus like faith. They walk up to the line sneakily like they're gonna make some kind of point that isn't fucking weird candy movie fucking bullshit, and they go up to him, and they're like, nah, just fucking kidding, and then they just fucking go for it. Well, they don't even make any point. They reference that they're familiar with subtext, but they don't actually have any.
I was gonna say he tested fate when he almost landed on a landmine, and then he gets to walk away, and then that fucking giant Hummer thing he had, I literally thought it fell on him,
as it did look like it. And then he just stepped back 2 feet.
Yeah, and then he just like walks around, but it's like it was just kind of like, see. Look at, that's when he came. I was like, look at my jacket. They shot at me.
Everybody's hands are raised right now.
I have the best tie-in with that scene. Is after you watch Fast 9, immediately put on Gravity. Because the whole setup of Gravity is that a satellite gets destroyed and all the shrapnel is what fucking caused everything. So I want to watch Fast 9 where they drive into the satellite and immediately put on Gravity, where because of that act, then they doom Sandra Bullock and George Clooney up in space.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, you're never supposed to ask any of those questions. Not even one of those questions, because it breaks not just one movie, but the whole franchise.
Literally everything.
After 5. But also, I was talking with Hobbit about this earlier. The reason there's so much winking in the script, and there's a lot. There's a lot of, yeah, I understand what you're going through, audience, is because one person wrote Fast 1 through 8. And there was a different writer on this script. The writer for this script is being like, yes, I saw these other ridiculous movies, and I'm calling you on these other ridiculous movies.
You're a screenwriter that has like a 20-picture deal with a fucking, like, and that you're just like churning out whatever scripts. You don't even have to have them produced necessarily, but you're on a 20-script contract with the studio. And you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. Monkey boxing movie. Fucking, I don't know, like best friend's a robot. Cool, fuck it. Just like throwing out just dumb shit. And then somebody comes up to you and is like, Fast and the Furious 9. And you go, oh, I don't have the tools available to me to do this. Yeah. Like, I can't. You wrote the fucking best friend robot movie. Like,
yeah, that had subtext.
So. It was about like what it means to be human. And they're like, well, what it means to fucking drive fast. There you go. Fucking do it.
And now we have our second time where a main character is in a car crash. Somebody comes up with a gun, unloads the gun on them. We assume they are dead, as which would happen if you were shot in the head in a car crash. And for the second time, they go, no, 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 you weren't paying attention. That person's not dead. Like, not just once, because, again, Letty, that was her death in 4, right? And then she comes back at 6. And then here we get the reappearance of,
We know the rules. The only person that doesn't get to come back from the dead is Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So as long as there isn't an Uncle Ben character, then you're good.
I just thought it was hilarious that we get to see the flashback with Mr. Nobody going, oh, yeah. So who was in the car that got shot in the head by Statham if it wasn't?
I just realized.
It's supposed to be a hologram.
I just realized fucking 10. Their dad that died in the fiery fucking crash that we just got introduced to in this movie is actually Cypher's boss.
Holy shit.
And no. Cypher's father.
Cypher's father. And so they're all siblings.
Oh, and
they have
family.
To team up. And then Cypher has to become a good guy to team up with them to stop.
It's the Katamari. It's the Borg all over again. Just boop,
yeah.
Boop,
yeah. Cause
boop.
We never did see the body. Just, you know, the charred remains of that explosion on the fence. So.
Then you can tie in Free Jack. And right before the
God
car
damn it.
Explodes.
Which I was thinking about when that shit happened, by the way. It's good to know I wasn't the only person who went, well,
gonna,
like Free Jack,
right? We're friends for a fucking reason that we're watching Fast 9 and we have a Free Jack
moment.
We're
just waiting for Anthony Hopkins to show up at some point, yeah. Which he could show up in
There's
one of these
literally
movies.
One listener being like, "I was thinking the same thing." Everyone's like, "What the fuck is Free Jack?" It's the reason why fucking what's his fuck from Rolling Stones never acted in other movies.
Oh, Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger, yeah.
Oh god, it's that movie's his acting
it's
is
garbage.
Painful.
It's worse than Dom's acting in Fast 9.
Yes, but is it worse than the dancing in the streets video?
About
with, with the sound off.
That was David. Was it David Bowie? Right.
That was David Bowie and Mick Jagger,
Jagger
in big baggy pants. And
they were
clothes.
Both. They were both dancing
in the trench
streets.
Coats.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Which again, I would suggest the YouTube video where they take the sound out and people have inserted where it just looks like two crazy people dancing in an empty warehouse, like with no actual music. It's kind of amazing.
Mm. Now, also, we have to talk. It was brought up before the episode, but because it had to, because it's one of those things that it's like something that I think I developed Tourette's trying to like hold back talking about fucking Charlize Theron's bowl cut.
Oh God. Like the Buster Brown?
The Buster Brown. Yeah. Well, no, you said Buster Brown. I said Stuart from Mad TV. And Tondi, you were,
the alternate Rick.
Alternate
Rick.
Yeah.
Slow Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, is that a thing? She's just, they're hoping that's going to be a trend and we're going to see that in the next couple of years? Because I hope that doesn't happen.
I think she's opening up for Mitski, like on tour. She's got that like weird indie girl singer vibe that like marries a rich guy that owns a conflict diamond mine kind of.
Is that in her contract? She'll be in these movies, but she has to have the dumbest looking hair in each of them. Because
I think
the dreads were
honestly,
pretty fucking
you know,
stupid
maybe
looking.
It's just. She understands how much better she is than these films. Like she's an Oscar winning actress.
So, brings her
like,
down.
So she's just like, you know what? Fuck it. Twist dreads. Let's do twist dreads. And they're like, okay, we did twist dreads. Asymmetrical. She's like, no, fuck it. Bowl cut.
Because that bowl cut. And then they honestly almost seem like they were trying to do a Hannibal Lecter style scene with her in the glass cage.
I want to be Hannibal Lecter if he was played by a racist stereotype Asian character in a 1992 comedy.
If he was Simple Jack. If Simple Jack, Simple Jack was... Yeah. Because she's... That's the Simple Jack haircut. Right. And she's like, talking to John Cena and just like, trying to dissect his relationship with all this stuff. And I'm just like, I can't take you seriously with that fucking haircut. And John Cena would be like, are you talking to me? Because you're going to have to do something else.
We also, being a geek-centric show, we have to mention the fact that they had like a two-minute dialogue about the different characters in Star Wars that they broke down in the most not actually that familiar
you
with Star
the
Wars.
Eastern
kind of
European guy that was like, you're like the Darth Vader. And like... Who added that?
Although
I love the Yoda
so
part.
So I laughed at the punchline. I laughed.
Yeah, the punchline was great, but that was you could hear the smirk on the writer's face.
Yes, that's why
during the line it was like you're like Yoda. Oh, like he's really strong and smart Jedi, and you're like no, because you're a puppet.
Yeah,
and there's a hand in your butt, and the writer's just like. Fucking done.
Yes.
Fucking threw his pen down. Like, I fucking nailed this shit.
I'm not even going to write the rest of this movie. Just do stuff. Just do stuff.
I do appreciate the closeness that John Cena had with Vin Diesel, where literally he gets betrayed. Like, inside the moving truck, the moving Caterpillar truck, right? He gets out. And then instantly, he's part of the team. Because they have no idea that he got betrayed besides...
No, but Dom had already forgiven him when he had his little dream sequence. So, remember?
His dream sequence. But did he talk to the rest of the team and say, look, if John Cena comes out of the truck we're trying to destroy and then jumps on your car.
Well, the only people that he came in contact cool with were, was the sister first, then Dom. So it was just the family.
Yeah, Mia came out
but
of
there was no communication during mid-action where he then jumps on. They go, you seem cool now because you kind of smiled as opposed to what you've been doing earlier movie. Well, get no, into the
if,
car.
If you're a Turillo or married to a Turillo, then you can psychically communicate. That's the rules of Fast and the Furious.
I mean... there's Toretto magic all through that scene. Can we talk about
how the
magnet?
That's the name of the episode.
He got Toretto magic all over the place.
How the magnet pulled his car through a building, and only his car.
Only his car.
Pull none other cars through building
or anything else. Magnet.
He's in the store. Like yeah. Nothing.
Just his car through the building and into the freaking
literally
truck.
Into the fucking truck. That's so ridiculous.
I was just hoping someone might be able to answer if there was any other communication that they knew that he got betrayed. Because again, they just hop in. We got a car ready for you, man. You look like you're part of the team.
It doesn't matter because it was his sister who was never really angry at him. Let him get into the car. It was one person.
But everybody on the team is cool now.
They were inside the vehicle. They didn't even know what happened. Like, you're overthinking. All right, whatever.
That means Dom has never discussed his theory with his sister at all about the fact that their sibling murdered their father.
Yeah. He has never talked to his sister about it at all.
Which was brought up while he was in prison and never actually had any hard evidence besides those guys brought it up to me. I know now my brother fucking murdered my dad. That's his whole thing is he knows for sure because he overheard a conversation.
And also, I was so mad because it's such an obvious fucking line that could have been delivered, and it wasn't. And I was just like cringing, waiting for it. I was waiting for it to come back to it sometime later where John Cena, there's the flashback scene where they're racing and then Dom wins. And then John Cena, you know, young John Cena keeps going.
No.
And it could have, after that, it would have been perfect. That is like, you know, after so you won that race, I kept driving and I kept going ever since, trying to win the race, you know, or something. Something just
something
like
equally stupid as the movie
itself. I think I'm still in that race.
You're asking
something.
A lot of John Cena to have that long amount of dialogue because he was struggling in parts of this movie, man.
So real script talk. Jordana Brewster as a thread was really not handled well. There should have been more establishment to that relationship other than lip service and the one scene where she helps him out of the car. That was like, this is family. The only reason that she is in on this job is because she's family. The movie's about family.
Wait, say family one more time.
The movie's about family.
There it is. Family. Okay, cool. Yeah, it's important. We almost missed our quota, and then you just
snuck
it right in there.
I think we got over the line even before then. She was not. She never has been used for anything in these movies other than being. What's his face is
Brian's girlfriend.
Yeah, girlfriend.
But that was the whole thing in the first one. Was like, oh, you gave my sister. Blah, blah, blah.
And that's where they twisted.
That's a great
where
impression, actually.
I kind of wish they might have killed Brian off in one of the prior movies because, and this one, the answer is okay because he's still alive in this world, as opposed to the actor. And they go, "Where's Brian?" And she goes, "He's taking care of the kids," and that's it. And if
why
you
didn't they kill him off from the
and that's what I'm saying. But you know what? Just throwing one more line. You know, oh, he fucked up his leg. He really wished he could help you guys out, but he's gonna stay with the kids. Now they go, nah, he's with the kids. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No mention of him. Again, earlier movies, he's Dom's right hand man, the second best driver of the crew. But this mission, that's very important. He's just watching the kids.
That fucked me up because I care so little about the plot of these movies that when. She was like, our kids are in the safest place they can be. They're with Brian. I was like, she murdered their children. like she fully fucking killed the kids.
They're with Brian
they're
now.
They're with Brian now.
Speeding on the highway of
life.
She just
looks away into the middle distance.
Just one single tear.
God damn.
I swear for a moment, I forgot that he was still alive in this world. So because I just remember like going off and I was like, it's his ghost or something. No, like he is not dead in this universe.
That's so
but
fucking.
But it took me a fucking second, and I was like, dude, that's the darkest turn this series has ever taken.
There's gonna be something in 10 where like they just show the car, and that's Brian, like the final battle in 10, and like the car gets fucked up, you know, or explodes or something, and that's they've got to kill off Brian before the series ends.
The Brian scene in the 10th one is like something big's going down, and they're like, oh, Brian's going to come to save the day, and then the scene cuts, and it's just Brian taking the cellophane off three packs of Lunchables because he's back at the house watching the kids.
Or they just steal scenes from other movies and try to like stitch them together where it's just like, I was just so tired of running scared and parkouring over brick mansions that I...
Oh, stop. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
It's weird they didn't just kill his character off. Because then they literally have the very last scene of him pulling up and like, it's just one of the, like, we all realistically know what's driving
a fucking Honda.
Now I will say that was something.
Get the kids in the back seat of the Honda.
That was some of the exhilaration though of watching
the kids
Seven.
Are dead. Like, that's been established. Oh, yeah.
So it's just a ghost car. It's a blue ghost car.
Blue ghost car.
That was part of the excitement of watching Seven the first time is not knowing how they were going to handle him actually dying in real life. And so some of the stunts, and you're like, is this how they kill the character? And you kept watching, and it wasn't until the end you're like, oh, okay, you're not doing that. Because like when he's on the bus that's falling off the cliff, you're like, is this how they kept and you kept waiting for all these stunts where they were gonna, this is how they're gonna do it, right? No, they didn't. It was a big middle finger to get to that movie. It's like, no, he just drove away with his family and he's forever gonna live in this universe.
His leg hurts, so he can't he can't go anymore.
It's terrible.
There's literally somebody that doesn't know how to drive that's part of the crew. And they're like, no, his leg hurts.
Dom loves him so much that he named his kid after Brian. And not the kid's mother who was murdered in some kind of play on word, that kid, the name of the kid, and tribute
my
to the dead mom.
Still alive.
Well, they didn't say what the middle name was, so.
But still, it's one of those things that's weird. It's like,
clearly familiar.
Yeah. It's like, could figure out a way to, mom that was murdered in front of me, I could find a way to put you, no, my best friend that drives with me, I'm going to give you his name. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even think about fucking Han.
He's just like, here's all these people that are still alive that I named my kid after.
It would have been awesome if he named his kid Han, and then Han shows up, and he's like, motherfucker, all right, you got a new name, all right? Like, seriously, like, I named you after the dude that died that was close to the family, but now he's alive, so.
Well, that kid's apparently... There's a weird Nordic line, bloodline in there that we were weirdly informed in.
Jesus.
That is the clunkiest fucking dialogue to try. And I've talked at length on this show about how sometimes just a one sentence throwaway line can explain some of the weird choices that movies make. And I was cool that that's exactly what they fucking did with John Cena being the biological brother of Vin Diesel.
Different mamas.
But the Daddy line that they used... Sugar. Didn't solve any questions for me. No. It created 82 other fucking questions for me. Like, your chin is very specific.
Nordic?
Yeah, the Torillo line is, the bloodline is very...
You say Torillo. Like, he's done that.
Whatever.
It's what he does. That's his trademark.
Just keeps saying. It's like...
Not just for superheroes anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't correct him.
How'd you used to say it?
Chitala.
Chitala. He used to say Chitala.
So, yeah, the Torillo.
Toretto.
Whatever.
Stop it. Let him say Torello.
The Italian family with a Hispanic dad that is in this movie apparently has a Nordic bloodline that only affected one of the siblings.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
You look at Jordana Brewster and you already know that the family bloodline is out the window. It's just people.
And for a movie that every once in a while over-explains stuff, like we had talked about before we started recording, the line where they bring up that, you know, Charlize Theron's character has escaped, and Dom looks sort of confused, but he shouldn't be. And then Roman goes, man, you know, that's the woman that killed your baby's mama. Yeah, he knows that. Like, I know Dom sometimes looks confused, but I'm pretty sure he has that kind of burned his memory.
If only he had that, like, sarcastic response, like, wait, what? Wait, hold on.
That would have been awesome.
Hold on.
Yeah. But it's such a throwaway line. Like, hey, that's the person that killed. Yeah, we know. He knows that.
Explaining dialogue.
He was literally there.
The previous movie.
Yeah.
Dom has a lot of weird looks in general in the whole franchise. Like, in this movie, especially, like, every time it was, like, with him and his son or him and somebody important, they did, like, a close up where it was just, like, his fucking giant schnoz, and like
you don't
he would
know what's
start
going on.
To do this smirk, and it felt like he had trouble forming words at first because he'd be like, but it was like
he's
almost
about
like,
to sneeze.
The face looked like he like just crop dusted and was waiting for everybody to smell it. Like, that's what I was thinking.
No, I talked about it's the smirk. It's like when you lie to a child and you know they're too dumb to know you lied.
But I mean, it's before we started talking. Like, he would smirk before words came out. I'm like, what is so, what are you smiling at? You look like a creeper.
That's because an alligator in a dress steals your dreams.
And the kid's like, oh, is that true, daddy? And you're like, yeah, that's totally true. Like, that's the smirk he has on his face.
It's horrible.
That smirk is just, it's a real life smirk that Vin Diesel knows he's ridiculous, and he knows he's playing a ridiculous role in these movies.
He's making a lot of money.
But he's making a lot of money doing it, yeah. He's like patting his wallet while he's doing it.
One of my favorite moments in this entire series is part 7, where he's trapped on that cliff, and he's surrounded by the cars, and he's like, put on your helmet, and does that fucking smirk right before he launches that car off of a 100-foot drop that crashes that would murder anybody else in this world. And he's right. And he gave that smirk
this
almost beforehand.
This car is 100% death proof.
Yeah, he's like, he's giving that smirk like, yeah, I'm going to fucking survive.
Death proof.
Okay, well, what about the death proof scene at the climax of 6 where he explodes out of the airplane, but the airplane wrecks him anyway and flips his car. And then the motherfucker walks out of the fire.
Well, like, yeah, he's fireproof. I mean, yeah.
This motherfucker literally survived a Caterpillar fucking vehicle rolling down a hill, and then he says, fuck your Tokyo Drift, and does it off a cliff to smash into a fucking drone, dude. Like, he literally drifted on a fucking cliff with a Caterpillar truck.
Also, he's barrel rolling inside the thing, like walking on the side.
You ever notice that he braces, because they do it in a lot of the movies. He'll brace, like that's doing something under the circumstances given. When the car rolls, he'll brace, so I guess he's okay.
It's all his muscles, yeah.
Yeah. So he can walk out of it. It's fine, because he braced against the roof of the car. That.
Also, the smartest hacker in the entire world is like a billion-dollar spy plane drone flying it, right? But doesn't think maybe back off away from the cliff that the car has been, for like 20 minutes, has been rolling towards the cliff.
Yeah. The bangs were in her eyes at that part. Yeah. Oh, and you don't see it. She's brushing the bangs out of her eyes and then crash into it.
Like, if it wasn't hard enough to take her seriously the whole movie, this one part, particularly when she's pissed, when she gets out of the simulator and she just, they did a quick walk by the camera, I'm like, you look like an angry toddler.
Yeah. She really did.
Also, I'm not entirely sure of this, so I'm open to being corrected, but did she have costume changes in the Lecter chamber?
Oh, absolutely.
They had to give her fresh clothes, I guess.
So they were like, okay, we understand that you're going to be here for a while, so let's make sure to pack your red leather pants.
Well, she had to poo, too. I mean, was she shitting in the box? I mean, they had to let her out to use the bathroom.
By the way,
that's a poorly planned.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree.
For a character that had been in the two prior ones and it was in some flashback, they really did not give two shits about Kurt Russell's death. Like Mr. Nobody's death, right?
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
We didn't see his death. He's
but they
dead.
Never explain it. There's just, you know,
dude,
wreckage.
Nobody's dead.
Wreckage.
Dom's dad isn't
literally
dead.
Nobody's
like,
dead.
Like, nobody's dead.
If you don't see a body, they're not dead. If you do see a body, they're not dead.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you thought they were going to have some line where he's going to pop up just for a second.
Han must have been a hologram because they do show his feet because they didn't want to pay him too much more for that scene. Right?
Yeah.
So they like show him walk up and there's Han and then they redo the scene. When he walks away, Han's gone. So it must have been a hologram.
Yeah, that's how that scene was presented.
Yeah, it was presented that it was a hologram. And he's like,
it was really stupid.
And Mr. Nobody's like,
Here I am, fooled by another fucking hologram.
Yeah.
And then Han's like, well, that was a good job. And Mr. Nobody's like, it was sloppy. I've done better. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, this is terrible.
It was just so weird for that. That's the way they explained it. Like, no, you thought you saw all that. No, you didn't. Like, all right.
Also,
well,
why did he have to be there next to Mr. Nobody? Be like, do you want to witness your own death? And he's like, sure. Yeah, I'm super into
this. It's weird how you've aged a little bit in just that short period of time. Because let's be honest, guys. All right.
Yeah.
You could tell a few years had passed.
He got a little thicker.
Yeah.
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 He got that, like, probably 45 to 48, where you start to, like, your girth as in your body just starts to, like, thicken a little bit.
And he's been in hideout for years, right? And the way he's discovered is literally our two characters are at a cafe randomly in Tokyo and look up at a window that has a Mexican flag. Go, that's our guy. Does anybody know how big Tokyo is?
Didn't something mention Mexico and there's a Mexican flag so clearly.
We did it.
Didn't they have some clue of where to go eat at, though? I thought, wasn't there? That's what I rationalized
the clue to
in
go
my
to
brain.
Tokyo was a postcard.
No, but like in Tokyo.
And then the Mexican church.
But they were just at a cafe.
But I thought, okay, I thought that, like, at least maybe I rationalized it in my brain, because I'll just fill in what makes sense. And I thought that there was a have to go to that restaurant.
You're going to hurt your brain doing that.
No, it was small. It was fine.
You're going to cause a nosebleed if you do that too much in this movie.
I mean, why was Han's adopted daughter a ninja master randomly who was also hot, which is apropos of nothing, but that is something that...
Oh, well, she said that he taught her how to survive.
Yeah, but did he teach her to be a ninja master? Because Han wasn't a ninja master.
Well, no, he those that can't do, teach. So
it was perfect timing when those henchmen, the henchmen that come in literally a minute after our characters go in there, just like, you know, that's exactly the perfect timing to show up to the scene.
Well, we saw the shoulder of a silhouette telling us that somebody was watching them look for Mexican flags in Tokyo, so...
They're not even. You feel like the screenwriter was like, "Yeah, they're at a cafe. Oh, Mexican flag," and they solved it right there. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe there's some kind of extended scene where they go to a few cafes or something.
Also, maybe it's because I'm a fat ass, but they like this is noodles in Tokyo, and they're just like, "Fuck it." And also, oh no, this also bothered me.
Uh-oh.
They're having a conversation, right? And they're talking, and when she's talking, there is one piece of lettuce on top of the fucking noodles that she keeps like kicking around with her chopsticks and like picking up and dropping and like just like moving it around and not doing anything with her. At one point she like pulls the noodles up, but she's like looking straight forward, just like, I don't know what my hands are doing, just like fucking with the noodles. And then at one point she like grabs the tiniest piece of lettuce, and that's what you see her chewing in the scenes between.
It's because she's like, I'm in my 40s and I need to stay slim, so I cannot be like chowing down food.
It's one serving of noodle.
I needed like Michelle Rodriguez to just take the biggest fucking noodle thing and just do the slurp.
I know. I want the opposite of that.
Yeah.
They're literally talking, noodles are falling out of their mouth.
There's like juice just going down their
face.
What's
the postcard say? And like she's spitting noodles out at her.
Oh, this is really good.
hold on a sec. Postcard. Hold on. Like just noodles everywhere.
Oh man, the rare beef in this is so good. Just fucking plowing into it. And then they're like, Mexican flag, okay, cool, but let's finish this first. You know, there's no rush.
So you could be bothered by that, or you could be bothered by the idea that excursions from the space station are expensive, they cost a lot of money, they're scheduled, but somehow both Tej and Roman make the cookout at the end of the movie. So
who I understand are still on the most wanted list, right? Like they've murdered
space
thousands of people.
Yes, I was going to say, that's the other thing I'd like to bring up, is that at this point, the innocent bystander count is, they're in the thousands. I mean, just
ten,
saves.
Probably tens
saves
of thousands.
They're
dragged
Auschwitz
in Brazil.
Levels, let's be honest. They're 6 million pedestrians murdered.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I know the magnets only got the bad guy cars, but there was human beings that were on the sidewalks of those cars getting thrown. Like,
hey,
people
man.
Died. People
Look,
fucking died.
I don't want to talk to a scientist. Magnets, nobody knows how they work. It's magic.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, okay. But that still doesn't tell the family of the murdered dad that was walking down the block and the car's crushed.
Someone needs to handle the Toretto family, and they need to come out with
the
Familia Accords.
Okay. Yes, yes.
You all need
you
to sign
the
Familia
family.
Accords.
The Toretto family is what you mean.
The Toretto family. The Familia Accords. Yes.
Yes.
The Familia Accords, yeah. Fucking yes.
No more death. Start showing them scenes, you know, make them live with, like, well, yeah, that you just literally magneted a car through a cafe.
I don't think there's. Can you pardon somebody for murdering thousands of people? Like, I'm pretty sure there's no pardon. It's like,
well, I mean, Marvel
cool
did
now.
It. Why can't Fast and Furious do it?
And then Jordana Brewster just stops and she puts her face in her hands, and Dom's like,
"That's enough. That's enough." Yeah, we got the Sokovia Accord. Perfect. That like just totally like let them get away with who did get killed.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
so
I understand the end of Fast 10 is when Dom is like, I am family, and then he snaps his fingers and he dies.
And it's just a wife beater and the cross
then
chain left.
Yeah, then his wife is just like, it's okay, everybody's furious.
Oh.
You can rest.
All right. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we're at the end of our episode.
We're in Knights territory with this shit.
Yeah, we are.
The thing is, like, how do you GI Knights Fast and the Furious?
I got some ideas.
Okay, and I've really enjoyed how off the rails our second half went, because it needed to be for this fucking movie. It's insane. So please, you have some insights into Fast 9 that we didn't cover. Why?
But also, please reach out and let us know what those are on GUIpodcast.com. You can get links to all of our social media. Our email is geeksundertheinfluence@gmail.com. Our hotline is 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUI. Much thanks to the Creepazoids for the intro and outro music, Dead by Dawn. And we'll find you next time for another episode. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Join us, our family, or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
That was Sling Blade. That was,
no, that'd be like, shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
I reckon.
Some biscuits and Furious.
Furious biscuits and
I like mustard on my Furious.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.
It's all family is
family.
We're doing family.
Family.
Family.